ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिःशृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्रज्ञानां सुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकर व्याप्यलोकान् स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर्व्याप्यलोकान् व्यापिभिर्व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्मयत् तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा విధిజ విషయాన్ ప్రాశ్య భోగాన్ స్థవిష్ఠాన్ ప్రాశ్య భోగాన్ స్థవిష్ఠాన్ పశ్చాచాన్యాన్ చాచాన్యాన్ స్వమతి విభవాన్ స్వమతి విభవాన్ జ్యోతిషస్వేన సూక్ష్మాన్ స్వేన సూక్ష్మాన్ సర్వానేతాన్ సర్వానేత్రాన్ పునరపిశనై పునరపిశనై స్వాత్మని స్థాపయిత్వా స్వాత్మని స్థాపయిత్వా హిత్వా సర్వాన్ విశేషాన్ హిత్వా సర్వాన్ విశేషాన్ విగత గుణగణః పాత్వసో నస్తురియః గత గుణగణః పాత్వసో నస్తురియః It was made very clear, no more doubt. This world of duality experienced in the dream state is mithya. It's a projection of the mind. It has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, it is mithya. Again, the world of duality experienced in the waking state also is equally mithya. Even though it is not a projection of the mind, still it doesn't exist outside of the mind. Therefore, the truth of the jiva srishtihi, the world of duality experienced in the dream, and the truth of the world of duality, which is said to be Ishvara Srishti, experience the waking state, happens to be one and the same truth, that is Atma. Atma is only Satyam, and doesn't matter if it's Ishvara Srishti or Jiva Srishti. Srishti, with this world of duality experienced, is Mithya. Because when you say experienced, world means an object. The countless number of forms, names and functions which constitute this whole jagat, the entire universe, can be reduced to one word, the known, the experienced. Everything in this world is the known. There is no knower at all in this world. I mean, within the realm of the world. There is a knower of the world which is distinct, different from the known world. Being the known world is of the nature of inertness, and being inert, it can never have the independent existence of its own. Even to have the status of being existent, it must become the known. Unless and until the world becomes the known, it is as good as non-existent. For it to become the known, there must be knowledge, instrument of knowledge, and there must be the knower. Without the knower, with the mind, there cannot be the known. Therefore, being dependent, not having independent existence, anyway, the world is mithya. World is mithya. When you say mithya means it is not countable. It's as good as non-existent. It is non-separate from the knower. So being non-separate from the knower, we say it is not really there. Knower alone appears as the known. Knower alone is in the form of the known. This is the basic understanding. Therefore, mithyatvam of the duality has been explained in the previous karika. It was also made very clear, what is this mind? Why this world is mithya? The world is mithya. The world doesn't exist outside of the mind. The world exists in the mind only. Because mind itself, the mind, when the mind is functional, the world exists. When the mind is non-functional, the world is as good as non-existent. That we understand, we have, everyday experience we have this. If you fall asleep, mind is present but non-functional. The mind is non-functional means there is neither the dream world nor the waking world experience in the waking state. The mind is functional, any mind is possible, any world is possible. The mind must be fully functional for us to have the experience of the universe in the waking state. Mind is partially functional for us when we have the experience of the dream world. The mind is non-functional, then there is no experience of the world. The world is not experienced, the world doesn't exist for the one who is asleep. So we understand the function of meditation, the mind must be functional for the world to be existent, to have the status of being the existent, to become the known. And what is this mind? So existence of the world is dependent on the function of the mind. So what is this mind? Existence of the mind. What is this mind? We understood the mind is also mithya. The reality of the mind is pure consciousness. And how does this mind exist? When the reality is not known, the ignorance of the reality veils the reality. The reality is veiled, which is called ajnanam. Isn't it? And in this ajnanam, ignorance of the world, there's a possibility of the existence of this mind. Otherwise, mind cannot exist. It's exactly like what? It is like the rope can appear only as long as there is. Snake can appear on the rope only as long as rope is not known. Once rope is known, snake will not be there. The same way, mind is as resolvable as the snake through knowledge of its truth. Therefore, mind itself has no independent existence. Mind is mithya. The mind is mithya. Mind has no independent existence. And how can this world of duality dependent on the mind for its existence be real? It's also mithya. Yesterday we understood other than the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, we say ignorance is mithya. Ignorance caused mind is mithya. Mind caused world of duality is mithya. Being mithya, nothing is separate from. Mithya cannot exist independently without the adhishthanam, substratum. Anything mithya, like if you say this table is mithya, why? The table is just a form, a word denoting a given form which serves a given purpose. Nama rupa karma. Mithya means what? Any form, name and function. Non-substantial form, name and function is karma. This mithya, the form, name and function cannot be by itself. It needs to be, it needs something to be there. That is wood here. With reference to this, wood is the satyam. With reference to this table. In the same way, mithya is dependent on satyam. Satyam for its existence, satya adhishtanam must be there. Only then mithya can have at least, mithya can exist. Therefore, here when you say world is mithya, mind is mithya, ignorance is mithya, okay, then what is satyam? What is the one adhishtanam? adhisthanam, one and the only adhisthanam is this pure consciousness, pure knowledge implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, when you say, we are including the mind and ignorance also. Okay? I think, there's no mind, there's no Ajnanam, there's no real world other than the Atma. It is Atma alone is here. How we say, wood alone is appearing as the table. It is Atma alone is in the form of ignorance, mind, and also in the form of the jagat, even when there is ajnanam. Once ignorance is resolved, then there is no ignorance. There is no ignorance also. Absolutely, there is no such a thing called ignorance. Once you discover what Atma is, in the wake of knowledge, ignorance resolves. When ignorance goes, ignorance caused mind also be resolved, then you can, this world of duality also can be falsified as mithya. It is not there. So this we have understood already. Now Shankar Bhagavatpada, we are going to see here today, in page 439, in the last line of the Bhashyam, Paramartha, those are following Sanskritam, the Pa is not there. You have to put Pa. Ramartha is in my book. I don't know about your book. The Pa is missing in Sanskritam. Okay. Paramartha sad, paramartha sadvijnana matra aviseshat, paramartha sadvijnana matra aviseshat. We say paramartha sadvijnana matra aviseshah. That particular line states that due to the non-difference in the truth of the waking universe and the dream universe, both are mithya. Paramartha sadvijnanam, its absolute reality, consciousness, is the one and the same truth for both. There's no difference in the truth of the waking universe, different truth of the dream universe also, because mind happens to be the one and the same thing which causes this duality, and the mind, truth of the mind happens to be only consciousness. They both are equally mithya. That particular sentence, I want to make it very clear. Okay. Now, the following commentary, Shankar Bhagavatpada introduces the following verse. So this, he presents the possible doubt. And the doubt is based on what has been already understood. Rajju sarpavad vikalpanarupam dvaitarupena manahayeva iti uktam. See, Rajju sarpavad, like this snake, imagined on the rope. Vikalpanarupam Rajju Sarpavat. Not real snake. Vikalpanarupam Rajju Sarpavat. Like this snake imagined on rope. Manaha Eva, mind alone. Dvaitarupena, mind alone, appears in the form of the world of duality in dream, the world of duality in the waking state. This has been already explained, isn't it? So that he repeats a sentence, say, having said that, tatra kim pramanam, what is the proof to say? What is the proof to say that mind alone appears in the form of world of duality? Dvaita rupena manaha eva asti. Which mind? Kidrusha manaha. The mind which is like a snake, imagine Nandarup. The mind itself already say, what is this mind? The mind is not real. The mind is only a false appearance. It is like what? It is like the snake appearing on the imagined on the rope. How the rope, the mistaken rope is in the form of a snake. The mind is actually a false, like a snake seen on the rope. This mind alone is in the form of the world of duality. This was said, kim pramanam iti, what is the proof iti, anvaya vetireka lakshanam anumanam aha. Okay, we need a pramanam. Okay, what is the proof? What is the pramanam for saying this? For this, inference is the pramanam. The means, the proof for this is inference. Okay, we say anumanam. Anumanam means inference. Anumanam is the pramanam. Inference is the means of knowledge. Proof, inference, we can infer. What is the proof? Inference is the pramanam. Proof for understanding this fact. How? Using this Anvaya Vetireka Lakshanam method. What is Anvaya Vetireka? So, logical connection and disconnection. Anvayaha means seeing the logical connection. Vyatirekaha means seeing the logical disconnection. So logical connection and disconnection is said to be Anvaya Vyatireka method. Okay, that's just seeing it. So Anvaya Vyatireka Lakshanam Anumanam aha. So now, Shankara Bhagavata says in the following, the 31st Karika, Gaudapada Acharya presents the inference as the means of, as a means of understanding of mind being the source of existence of the duality. Source means what? Mind being the cause of the mind alone appears as the world of duality, experienced in the waking state and also experienced in the dream state. In what is the inference here? He says, let us see here. Simple inference. It's not a difficult inference. Mano drishyamidam dvaitam. Mano drishyamidam dvaitam. Yat kinchit sacharacharam. Yat kinchit sacharacharam. Mano drishyamidam dvaitam. Mano drishyamidam dvaitam. Yat kinchit sacharacharam. Yat kinchit sacharacharam. Manaso hyamani bhave. Manaso hyamani bhave. Dvaitam naivopalabhyate. Dvaitam naivopalabhyate. Manaso hyamani bhave. Hyamani bhave. Dvaitam naivopalabhyate. So how Gaudapada Acharya presents the proof for the mind being, mind appearing in a world of duality in the form of inference on the basis of this logical connection and disconnection. I prefer this than other one. agreement and disagreement. Okay. Okay. So he says, let us see the literal meaning of the karika first. Idam dvaitam. Idam dvaitam means this. When you said this, already we said this, the third person singular pronoun, this, idam. This used means what? Already you are seeing it as different. This entirety of the world of duality, idam dvaitam, this entirety of the world of duality, yat kinchit, whatever is here as part and parcel of this world of duality in the form of mobile and immobile beings. Chara acharam, idam characharam dvaitam yat kinchit, idam characharam dvaitam yat kinchit, whatever is here as part and parcel of this entirety of the world of duality, constituted of, consisting of moving, unmoving beings, things. Idam manodrishyam. It is definitely what? Manodrishyam. It's all object of knowledge of the mind. Object of knowledge of the mind means what? It's all perceptible through the mind, perceived through the, by the mind. Manodrishyam. Idam manodrishyam. Manodrishyam, that's one sentence is enough. Idam manodrishyam. The world of duality experienced is perceived by the mind, which means it doesn't exist if it is not perceived by the mind. The world exists only when it is perceived by the mind. And when does the mind perceive? When does mind know the world? Only when it is functional. The mind is functional means mind serves as the instrument of knowledge. Mind functions as the knower. Whereas when the mind is non-functional, when the mind is non-functional, it does not function as the knower, then the world of duality is as good as non-existent. When it is not seen, perceived, the world loses its status of being existent. Okay. He says, next word, manasaha hi amani bhave. Manasaha amani bhave. See, amani bhavaha. Amani bhavaha is a beautiful word he used in here, this karika. Amani bhavaha means when the mind does not function. When there's a condition of the mind being non-functional. Amani bhave. When the mind does not function, then the mind remains as a non-mind. The mind must be functional for the mind to be the mind. When the mind does not function, it is a non-mind. When the mind remains as non-mind, it means amani bhave. If the mind remains as the mind, it is manaha. When the mind does not remain as the mind, when it does not function, then it is amani bhavaha. It's a state of the mind being non-functional as a non-mind. Then what happens? Dvaitam naiva upalabhyate. This is how you can infer this from this. When the mind is non-functional, dvaitam naiva upalabhyate. Where is the world of duality available? Dvaitam naiva upalabhyate. The world of duality is not available for experience, perception, enjoyment whenever the mind becomes non-functional. When the mind becomes non-functional, the condition is said to be amani bhavaha. The mind can be considered as the mind when it is functional. When it doesn't function, it's non-functional, it is as good as non-existent also. Therefore, it's called amani bhavaha. You say, the mind remaining as a non-mind. Amani bhavaha. Manasaha amani, hi amani bhave, when there is the non-function, when the function of mentation does not happen, then dvaitam naiva upalabhyate. The word of duality is not available. Is not there. This is the literal meaning of tikarika. Te nahi manasa. I'm reading the bhashyam now. Vikalpyamanena. Te nahi manasa. Vikalpyamanena drishyam. Mano drishyam idam dvaitam. See, the duality, idam dvaitam, this word of duality, experienced, perceived in the waking state, is actually, I also can say in the dream state also, is nothing but the vikalpyamanam, is the projection of the mind. Manasa vikalpyamanam drishyam dvaitam. What is this word? The word nothing but the world of duality experienced is projected by the mind. Projected by the mind means what is it? It's the appearance of the mind. Modification of the mind. Yeah, manasa vikalpyamanam. Yeah, manasa vikalpyamanam. Manasa, see, manasa vikalpyamanena drishyam, manodrishyam. Which means, manasa vikalpyamana, which means, is completely presented by the mind. Idam dvaitam sarvam manaha. Therefore what? You can say, the entire world, this world of duality, is nothing but, okay, something projected by, the caused by the mind. Therefore what? Idam sarvam dvaitam manaha. Mind is not the world. The world of duality. The entirety of the world of duality reduced to what? Mind. What is world of duality? It's the mind. Why? Is it because when the mind functions, when the varieties of thoughts rise, only the thoughts are there, and that always thoughts are connected. Thoughts are pertaining to the objects of the world. When the mind's thoughts are connected to the objects of the world, then the world shines. That's why it is said, dvaitam, idam dvaitam sarvam manaha iti pratignya. So Shankaracharya says, this is the pratignya statement. The statement is a statement of proposition. It's a promising statement. A statement of proposition is what? Idam sarvam, dvaitam sarvam manaha. Idam dvaitam sarvam manaha is a pratignya vakyam. Pratignya vakyam means what? First, it is a fact. A fake fact is first mentioned. Come on, this entire world of duality is mind. It's a proposition. This needs to be explained now. How, on what basis do you say this entire world of duality is manaha? Next, answer he gives. Tad bhave bhavat. When there is mind, when the mind exists as the mind, when the mind remains as the mind, when the mind is functional, then alone mind is said to be existent. The non-functional mind itself is as good as non-existent. Please understand, very important lesson, okay? Only when the mind is functional, mind is as good as existent. The mind is non-functional, it is as good as non-existent. Isn't it? Because in sleep, what happens? Do you know this mind? Mind is. We do not know the mind is. Therefore, Tadbhave, when the mind has a status of being existent, being functional, only then the world of duality also is existent. Tadbhave dvaitasya bhavaha. Tad dvaitasya abhavaha. So he says, tadbhave bhavat, tad abhave abhavat. Is the reason he gives. The reason is reason. What is the reason to say the entire world of duality is only manaha? Idam dvait, idam sarvam dvaitam manaha. Pratigya, you have to give reason. What the reason? Tadbhave bhavat, tad abhave abhavat. When the mind is existent, being functional, then this world of duality also exists. When the mind is as good as non-existent, being non-functional, then this world of duality also is non-existent. It's as good as non-existent. Because it is not available for experience, perception, enjoyment. So, the world heavily is dependent only on the function of the mind, functional mind, for its existence. Understand? So mind, world is dependent on the mind for its existence. This is the important lesson here. In the following verse, we are going to understand another fact is what? The mind also can have the status of being the mind. It can be, okay, only when the world is available for its experience. It's another fact, okay. The subtle teaching is that we'll see that, that's going to come later on. But in this verse, what he says, the world is dependent on the mind for its existence. In the sense, the mind has to be functional, only then mind itself has a status of being existent, only then the world of duality has a status of being existent, which means it is dependent on the mind for its existence. Tad bhave bhavat, tad abhave abhavat. This is the reason. Now he says, in what all conditions mind loses its status of being existent? In what all conditions, okay, mind is said to be mind is a non-functional mind. There are many conditions. So whenever mind is non-functional, it's as good as non-existent. Also you can say, amani bhavaha. Isn't it? Amani bhavaha. So manasaha amani bhave. What is amani bhavaha? Mind being not the mind. Mind being the non-mind. Mind being as good as non-existent. But it is non-functional. Is amani bhavaha. It is said to be amani bhavaha. Amani bhave means what? Nirodhe. Nirodhe. Nirodha means obstruction. It is nothing is obstruction here. Amani bhavaha. Nirodha means when the mind ceases to function. The mind remains non-functional. Then what happens? Many occasions, I'll tell you first. Every day in sleep, temporarily mind is non-functional. One occasion. First occasion is, before I go to the verse, okay? The mind is non-functional in sleep. You know, mind is non-functional. It is called deep sleep state of the mind. Because amani bhava, okay? Temporary amani bhava. Then in death, also there's amani bhava. Mind is non-functional temporarily until rebirth takes place. Then in pralaya, of course will be amani bhava, that we don't know, we can't talk about it. Then when a person is given to the discipline of practice of meditation, because he's taking the attention from all other objects, focusing on only one given object repeatedly, what happens? Then also attention being not available for the world is not perceived. Then also, the person, the mind becomes completely, you know, in nirvikalpa samadhi. Also, a person has this experience of the mind being non-functional. Mind is non-functional means the world of duality is not available. When the mind is non-functional, when the world of duality is not available for experience, okay, when there is advaita anubhavaha, when there is non-dual experience, when can you have non-dual experience? Please understand, non-dual experience is different from the vision of non-dual reality. Our Shastra study is not for non-dual experience. Our Shastra study is for the vision, the knowledge of the non-dual reality. We have non-dual experience easily. In sleep, we have non-dual experience. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, non-dual experience is possible. Because attention is grabbed by the object of meditation, then completely the world of duality disappears. That experience. That's why experience. In death, that experience will be there for a person, but you can't go and ask the person. Even that person cannot talk about the experience. There's experience, non-dual experience. Whenever there is the non-dual experience, advaita anubhavaha, there is sukham. Even in advaita anubhavaha, there is sukham. Imagine if advaita jnanam, permanent sukham. Because experience is time bound. Therefore, the sukham available also is time bound. Advaita anubhavaha, being just experience. Experience is time bound. Any experience is time bound. Therefore, the sukham enjoyable is also time bound. Because temporarily, mind stops functioning. Whenever mind stops functioning for a short while, that's all. Immediately, the world of duality disappears. Then, there is advaita anubhavaha, sukham. It happens in death. It happens every day in sleep, deep sleep state. It happens, okay, in samadhi anubhavaha. It happens, okay. But he says, real amani bhavaha happens. Every day we have that is as though amani bhavaha in sleep and what we have. But real amani bhavaha happens when the mind becomes non-functional. Non-functional means, in spite of mind being functional, also can negate the mind being mithya. That is real amani bhavaha. In spite of mind being functional, in spite of experience the world of duality, if we negate the mind as mithya, negate the world of duality as mithya, in the wake of knowledge of the truth, that is real amani bhavaha. Seeing the mind being not there. Where is the mind? If you see the rope, where is the snake? In the wake of the rope, you can see you don't need to drive away the snake. The snake resorts in the very rope. In the same way, in the wake of the truth, you can see mind being not the mind. That is real amani bhavaha. So he says, Viveka darshana, abhyasa vairagya abhyam. That one sentence I have to explain. One word. Viveka darshana abhyasa vairagya abhyam. Viveka darshana abhyasa vairagya abhyam. What does it mean? When a person is given to, okay, when the person lives a clean life of karma yoga, worshipfully, prayerfully, in due course of time, all these practices, going through these disciplines, karma yoga, upasana yoga, etc., in due course of time, when a person has viveka vairagyam, as a result of vairagyam, that is his vairagya abhyam, he mentions, Shankara Bhagavatpada is very conscious, okay, that Shastra must be studied. Knowledge, one must really rely on Shastra Pramanam for this vision. So that's why he mentions Viveka Darshana Abhyasa Vairagya Abhyam. By going through all these disciplines and having Viveka, having Vairagyam, as a dispassionate person, when a person is given to the discipline of study of the Shastram, when he goes through Shravanam and Mananam, when he really understands one's own Swarupam. Clear, doubt-free knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self must happen. Okay? When a person which has vision, when a person is given to the discipline of contemplation, when he repeatedly is dwelling upon one's own nature, then what happens? The person understands, isn't it? In the wake of that vision, knowledge will, its mind will resolve. The resolution of mind happens. He says, Rajvam Iva Sarpe. Rajvam Iva Sarpe Layam Gate. When the mind resolves, and the mind resolves in Atma, Swarupam, like the snake resolves in the rope, in the wake of knowledge of the rope. So one small sentence, but we have to make it long sentence in English. When the snake resolves in rope, in the wake of knowledge of the rope, how the falsely superimposed upon a snake resolves in the very rope, in the same way, when a person has the clear vision, in the wake of the clear, doubt-free, ascertained understanding of one's own Swarupam being Atma, when the mind also resolves in the very Atma, that time real Amani Bhavaha happens. In spite of the mind being functional, in spite of the world of duality being experienced, still once you see what is the truth of the mind, what is the true Atma, without which the mind cannot exist at all. Isn't it? In the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the Atma, we understand the ignorance becomes resolved in Atma. Ignorance of the Atma becomes resolved in Atma. When there is no ignorance, when no more ignorance, then the mind being mithya becomes very clear. And the mind caused, mind projected dream world being mithya becomes very clear. Mind caused, the world of duality experience, the requisite of being mithya becomes very clear. In spite of experiencing the world, you can say what? Mind is mithya. Understanding the mind is not having independent existence of the Atma itself is what? Real Amani Bhavaha. Resolving the mind as mithya, mind being non-separate from Atma itself is what? Amani Bhavaha. And he says, I don't need to say, he himself says what? Rajvam iva sarpe layam gate. Rajvam sarpe iva layam gate. When the mind becomes resolved in its own swarupam atma, like this snake superimposed upon the rope, resolves in the rope, this one amani bhavaha. Va, otherwise, sushupte. Sushupte means in sleep also there is amani bhavaha. Temporarily. In Sushupte also he mentions these two. Sushupte and also Jnane. Dvaitam na upalabhyate. Duality, the world of duality is not available for experience. Not available for enjoyment. Whenever the world of duality is not available for experience, It is as good as non-existent, isn't it? It is not there. Iti abhavat siddham. Abhavat siddham means what? Dvaitasya asattvam. Dvaitasya asattvam means the world of duality experience, the waking state being mithya is established. It's become very clear. How? Because it is not there whenever the mind is non-functional. Isn't it? See, even in ignorance, when the mind is non-functional, sushupte, in deep sleep state also, when the mind is non-functional, when the mind is asked as non-existent, dvaitam na upalabhyate, duality is not available for experience recognition. Therefore, iti abhavat, because the experience of the world of duality is not possible, whenever the mind is non-functional, if it is, then the world of duality is asked as non-existent, that itself is the proof for us to understand duality being mithya. Okay? Duality is not real. Duality has a status of being mithya. It becomes very clear in understanding that the duality, from the understanding that duality is not available for experience in deep sleep state. But before that he says what? First Shankaracharya mentions, Viveka Darshanabhyasa Vairagyabhyam. That is Jnanam he mentions. See, one big difference. It's only inference, only for the sake of understanding how the world of duality is dependent on the mind for its existence. The mind must be functional, only it is available. Well, to understand that example is given. But what exactly is the teaching? Mind, to have the knowledge that world of duality is not there, the mind should go away. This is what many people try. No, the mind must be functional, thoughts must be there, with the thoughts, without getting rid of the thoughts, without driving away the thoughts, obstructing the mind, and the mind must be, because you must use the mind, using the mind alone, in the presence of the mind alone, you are discovering this truth. That is why real amani bhavaha is one. Not after it. Okay, let us stop the mind. That's why people try to stop the mind. So, mere elimination of thoughts, obstructing the thinking, obstructing the thoughts is not the way of, you know, getting rid of the world of duality. It naturally happens in sleep. But here for us, we need only jnanam. The wake of knowledge has to happen means we must be thinking, we must be given to the discipline of shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam, all must happen means mind must be functional. It's not in, mind should not be, mind is functional, isn't it? When the mind is functional alone, shravanam is possible, mananam is possible, nidhyasanam is possible. Then, this is how when the knowledge happens. In the wake of the jnanam, in spite of the mind being functional, in spite of in the world of duality being there, still you understand in the light of the knowledge of the truth, obtaining as your own swarupam, you understand how atma alone is satyam. Okay? Mind is mithya. Because mind doesn't have independent existence outside of this consciousness. And also, the world of duality, of course, which is dependent on the mind for its existence, also ultimately is dependent on the Atma only for its existence. Therefore, it is non-separate, non-different from the world. Atma is not the world, but the entire world of duality being non-different from Atma, non-separate from Atma, Atma only. Therefore, it's all appearance of the only Atma. It is mithya. It is not really there. It is here in jnanam we are cognitively falsifying the world of duality as mithya. In jnanam we are cognitively falsifying the mind itself as mithya. This cognitive falsification of mind and the world as mithya is what? Amani bhavaha. Cognitive negation of the mind as mithya is amani bhavaha. So even in this context, Shankara Bhagavad Pada wants to emphasize what? Living a disciplined life. living a disciplined life and thereby having Veka Vairagyam, as a result of which, and going through proper disciplines and having division. Okay. This is the 31st Karika. We go to the next one. This is little more, we'll understand here later on. Katham punaha amani bhavaha iti uchyate. Next, Shankara Bhagavad Pada introduces the following karika. Katham punaha amani bhavaha iti uchyate. Amani bhavaha katham. See, amani bhavaha, mind remaining as a non-mind. Mind being the non-mind. Mind being non-mind is mind not functioning as the mind. Mind being non-mind is what? Amani bhavaha. So now the question is, amani bhavaha katham? Okay. How does the mind remains as a non-mind? How does the mind cease to function? Nah, that is asked. See, we cannot make the mind non-functional. Mind by itself remains non-functional, then it is deep sleep state. We do not have any say over the mind. So meditation helps to some extent, but still it cannot make it permanently. That's why any amount of meditation, practice of meditation, can really, for some time, it can give some experiences. Advaita anubhavaha it can give. Whereas, jnanam alone can help us understand. Real amani bhavaha is possible only in jnanam. So he says, amani bhavaha katham. So how does the mind remains as non-mind? How does the mind become non-mind? Means how does the mind cease to function? That is explained in the following karika. Atma satyanu bodhena. Atma satyanu bodhena. Atma satyanu bodhena. Atma satyanu bodhena. Nasankalpayate. Nasankalpayate yada. Nasankalpayate yada. Amanastam tadayati. Amanastam tadayati. Grahya bhave tadagraham. Bhave tadagraham. Atma satyanu bodhena. Atma satyanu bodhena. Nasankalpayate yada. Nasankalpayate yada. Amanastam tadabhati. Amanastam tadayati. Grahya bhave tadagraham. Bhave tadagraham. First he says, Atma satya anubodhena. Atma satya anubodha. Atma satya anubodha means, anubodha means knowledge, clear knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Atma being satyam. Atma eva satyam. Atma alone is real. This abstract formless consciousness implied by the term Atma alone is real. Iti that knowledge, the knowledge of the Atma being real when it happens. Okay, when the clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge of the Atma being real happens, then yada na sankalpayate, yada na sankalpayate, as a result of which mind does not function. Function means what? Mind does, then also, the literal meaning here, okay, when the mind does not think of any other objects. Very careful, okay? Yada, literally, sankalpayate does not think. When the mind does not think of any other objects, na sankalpayate, when the mind, in the veka halaj of the Atma, when the mind does not think of any other objects, which means the mind is, no other object is there for the thought of the mind. Na sankalpayate. When the mind is not associated with any of the world of objects, then tada amanastam yati, then mind is there as a non-mind. Amanastha. See, amani bhavaha also means what? Amanastha. Amanastha. Amanastha means what? Mind being a non-mind is said to be amanastha. Amanastham yati. Why? Because grahya abhave. When there's no object of knowledge. Grahya abhave. For the, there's no object of thought. In the wake of the knowledge, the object of thought being not there, the mind is what now? Then the mind is, becomes a non-mind. When that is when the mind ceases to be a mind. Grahya abhave. Mind becomes what? Tad agraham. Tad agraham. Agraham means what? Mind also becomes a non-perceiver of the world. Why it becomes non-perceiver of the world? Because no object. When can the mind have the status of being the knower? Only when there's object. The object is not there. When the object is not perceived. When there's no object. When the object is not there, the mind is non, becomes a non-perceiver. When the mind becomes the non-perceiver, mind loses its status of being the knower, experiencer. When the object is not there, when object is not there, agraham, grahya abhave, when there is absence of objects. Because the world has been already falsified as mithya. In the wake of the jnanam, when the world becomes falsified as mithya, the mind does not think, cannot think of any other object other than the Atma. It is then the object of experience, objects being not available, objects are not there, then mind, when becomes non-perceiver, non-knower, it is said to what now? That is when mind ceases to be the mind. Understand? Amanastam tada yati. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Okay. See what happens, we'll understand here first. So, what he says, when the mind does not perceive duality, it ceases to be the mind. Because, why it ceases to be mind? Because it resolves in the Atma. When the mind does not perceive duality of the mind, in the wake of the jnanam, it resolves in the very mind. So, in the absence of objects to be perceived, in the absence of objects to be perceived, it becomes a non-perceiver. Is very clear now? In the absence of objects of perception, it becomes a non-perceiver. Therefore, then there is no duality. This is how we can say it becomes there's no word of duality, then mind ceases to be the mind. This is the literal meaning of the karika. Okay. Let us see the bhashyam, becomes much clearer. Atma eva satyam. Atma satyam. He explains that compound. Atma satya bodaha. Atma satya anubodaha. He takes that word. Shankaracharya explains. Atma eva satyam. Atma satyam. See, when the person is given to study of the shastram, going through all these disciplines, and through different methods a person understands, especially neti neti etc., the person understands the meaning of the word I, the meaning of the word I being pure consciousness and prabhatam atma, then he can say what now? When he discovers the know I, the knower, am consciousness. Because he cannot place anywhere else in aham. When he distinguishes the I from everything known and resolves it in consciousness, and he understands the consciousness being the Atma, when he says that aham Atma, aham Brahma Asmi, that not even becomes very clear for him. It's like saying wavy is water. Aham Atma, aham Brahma Asmi iti. And therefore what? I the Atma am the Satyam. Okay, I the Self am the Atma, and I the Atma am the only reality of the whole. That knowledge becomes very clear for him. Atma eva Satyam, Atma Satyam. Like what? He gives example. Mrittikavati, with reference to, he gives, he quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, very well-known quote anyway, well known very many times we have repeated this quote. Mrittikavati, vacharambhanam vikaro namadheyam, mrittika ityeva satyam. It's a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, he presents. What he states is, when we, this in the quote is presented in the context of analyzing the part, taking the part for analysis, analyzing the part, how a person clearly understands without any doubt. Understanding clay pot is easy, isn't it? Clay pot, but he understands how the form, name and functions are not real. Only the substance, the truth, cause alone is satyam. There he understands cause as the satyam. So here, mrittikavat, like how a person understands clay which lends existence to the form, name and pot alone is satyam. And the pot, the form, name and function called pot is mithya, he understands. How the pot is a word which has its existence in the tongue, that's all. Really speaking, it's a non-substantial. Pot is a non-substantial word. And the pot, the form is non-substantial. There's no function can serve. The truth is only smritika. When a person understands in the same way, when he understands with reference to the entirety of this world of duality, I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am the reality. Only satyam. When a person understands, atma eva satyam, when a person understands, how does he understand? Shankaracharya explained. After his commentary, I'll explain. I'll come back to the verse again. Tasya shastra acharya upadesham anu avabodha. He says, atma satyam, atma alone is real, means what? I am the atma, I the atma am alone real. That knowledge must happen. When does it happen? He says, Shastra Achari Upadesha Anu Avabodaha. Anvabodaha means the knowledge of the Atma, which rises as a result of going through the proper disciplines, as a result of studying the Shastram as a Pramanam with the help of the teacher. This knowledge happens. Shastra Achari Upadesham Anu Avabodaha. Upadesham Anvabodaha. Shastra Acharya Upadesham Anu Avabodaha. Anvabodaha. Anu means Swamiji, that implies that emphasis. Avabodaha, this knowledge of the Atma, which happens as a result of going through discipline of Jnana Yoga study, Shastra study properly with the help of Sampradaya with teacher. That knowledge is what? Atma Satya Anubodaha. When it happens. And what happens? Tena Sankalpya Abhavataya. Na Sankalpayate. Sentence number one. Okay. Sankalpya Abhavataya Na Sankalpayate. Sankalpyate. See, mind then does not entertain any thought pertaining to any other object. The mind does not entertain any thought pertaining to any other object. All thoughts, isn't it? Why? Because the whole focus of the mind is what now? Is in clear vision of the Atma. Sankalpya Abhavataya. Then there is no object. Sankalpya Abhavaha means when there is no object, all objects become negated as there is no object. You can talk about subject-object duality when? The subject-object duality can be discussed, okay, only within the realm of duality, world of duality, in the sense of material world. See, the mind is the subject of knowledge. The external world is, including the body, is what? The object of knowledge. The subject-object division is in the realm of the matter. Isn't it? When there is duality, who is subject here? The subject of knowledge is the mind, okay? And the object of knowledge is the world, world and mind. And here, we are going to say subject is also Atma, object is also Atma. The subject of the duality, the division is not within the realm of the matter only. The standpoint of consciousness, there is no just division. When this mind, with the help of the Shastra study, help of the teacher, when he understands its own Swarupam. The mind discovers its own Swarupam. The truth of the mind resolves. Like how we say wave is water, the mind is consciousness. How when I am consciousness, when it is understood, the mind is, mind being non-separate from consciousness becomes understood. Isn't it? There is no independent existence for this mind. Therefore, he says, then there is no object. When the knower is resolved in the mind is no more the knower, then there is no object. The subject-object division is possible only as long as ignorance is there. Isn't it? Subject-object division becomes resolved. There is no more object. Where is the object? The world, the known world being non-different, non-separate from the knower, the world is, cannot be negated as said to be an object. There's no more object. Therefore, Sankalpya Abhavataya, when the objects are not there, then it does not entertain any thoughts pertaining to the objects. You cannot entertain a thought pertaining to the object when the object is not there. Its object has been cognitively negated as what? Mithya. Because it is non-separate from the mind, non-different from the mind. Like what? He gives a beautiful example. Dahya abhave jwalana jwalanam iva agnehe. How, see, the mind is capable of thinking of objects one after the other when the objects are available for experience. When the objects are available for experience, one can continuously think of objects one after the other. Isn't it? When the objects are no more available for thinking, objects are negated here in the jnanam, there is no object which is separate from the mind. When there is no object, one has to see the fact of something called object being not there. There is no object. When there is no object, then what happens? The mind also loses its status of being the knower experiencer. Mind loses its status of being the knower experiencer. Again, mind also does not have independent existence. Mind cannot become the knower independently by itself. Mind has the status of being existent, and mind has the status of being the experiencer, only being blessed by the Atma. Only being, because the blessing of the Atma. Mind has to become conscious, sentient and functional only because of the Atma. Therefore, mind itself is mithya. That is, it is said here, sankalpya abhavataya na sankalpyate. When the objects of thought being not available, the mind is not entertaining any thoughts but the objects, the mind does not think of the objects, then tada amanastam amanobhavam yati. It is then amanobhavam yati. He attains the status of being a non-mind. Amanastam yati means it becomes a non-mind, becomes a non-mind. Grahya abhave. Grahya abhave. Tan manaha agraham. When object of perception is not available, is not there, then that mind also becomes what? Agraham, non-perceiver. Tan manaha agraham bhavati. How is it possible for the mind? Where does the object go? Very interesting, Swamiji. Object doesn't go anywhere. Object is there as it is. How does the object disappear for the mind? The attention of the mind is taken away from the objects. It is placed in one's own swarupam in contemplation, isn't it? Which was not known before. See, Shastra study helps a person, something being Atma being there. Something called Atma being there. If there is a truth beyond the intellect, the truth distinct from the mind, that truth is revealed by the Shastram. So through the Shastra study, when a person discovers what is the knower of the mind, what is that which is the knower of the mind, what is that which is discoverer of the mind? The mind is a relative knower, this absolute knower. I'll stop here and explain this to you. Very important to understand. See, the absolute knower from the standpoint of the mind is Atma. Atma is not the knower. Knowing is Atma Swarupam. Knowing is his Swarupam. Atma is not the knower. From the standpoint of the mind, knower of the mind is Atma. The knower of the world is mind. The two knowers know. Absolutely, the knower is Atma from the standpoint of the mind. The standpoint of the world, we can say relatively, mind is the knower. Mind has the status of being the knower. But mind is capable of having the status of being knower only because of the blessing of the Atma. Therefore, mind itself is what? Mind can have the status of being the knower, being blessed by the Atma. There's a knower of the mind. It's understood. Mind knows only objects, object. Mind is always the knower of the objects only. Mind never becomes the knower of the self. Understand? The mind, which functions as the knower of the world, when through the Shastra study, discovers the knower of the knower. The knower of the knower. Knower of the mind is understood through Shastra study. That is when attention of the mind is totally on its swarupam. Called swarupa anusandhanam. So swarupa anusandhanam means what? When there is contemplation, when the attention of the mind is taken away from all the objects and totally placed in the Atma swarupam, which it has discovered newly through the Shastra study. Before, attention of the mind was not placed in Atma because Atma was not known. How can you dwell upon an object thing which you do not know? You can never think of an object which you do not know. You can think of an object only which you know. Therefore, Shastram helps you understand what is known. The world of objects is known easily, isn't it? So, the Shastram helps you understand what is not known. That is how the mind is placed on one's own swarupam. The whole attention of the mind is taken away from the world of objects and placed in one's own swarupam. Okay? Then the Atma being one's own swarupam becomes very clear, ascertained. Then from the standpoint of the clear vision, anvabodha. Atmasatya anubodha. Atmasatya anubodha. But now, Shastra Achari Upadesham anu avabodha. When that knowledge happens, then what, from the standpoint of that knowledge, one can see the mind itself being non-separate from that. So, attention being not available for other objects, and really a person sees in the wake of the knowledge, there is no object. There is such an object. If the world of duality exists independently of the mind, then we can say this object is available. The world of duality is non-separate from the mind. The mind is non-separate from consciousness, Atma. From the standpoint of that knowledge, the Atma, there is no, which is only Satyam. From the standpoint of Satyam, there is no knower, there is no known. This is how, from the standpoint of consciousness, the knower mind is Mithya. The known world also is Mithya. The knower, known, both are resolved as Mithya. Is only Satya Atma. Isn't it? Generally what happens, our utter mind is, mind entertains always thoughts pertaining to the objects only. Any number of thoughts you have, all our thoughts are pertaining to the objects, objects, objects only. Only when the Shastra study helps you take your attention away from the objects and place in what you do not see in the world. Isn't it? Then you see this Atma, then Atma becomes your own. Atma, the Swarupam becomes what? The thought of, some object of thought. When your own Swarupam becomes object of thought, that is why we say Nididhyasnam, there is no subject-object division. What is the object of thought in contemplation? What is the thought entertained in meditation? The object of thought is Atma Swarupam. That happens, of course, vritti happens actually, but in the clearly you are repeatedly seeing, isn't it? The object of thought being consciousness, your own sorupam. Then what happens? Mind is not, when the mind, the world of objects is not available for experience. The attention is taken from the world of objects, placed in Atma means the world of objects is not available, not there. You place the mind, attention is there, the world of objects shines. Attention is taken away from the world of objects, attention is totally placed in the Atma Swarupam, the world of objects is asked as non-existent. The world of the objects are not available for perception. Because attention is not available. Then what happens? The world is not, as good as not there. When the world is not there, we say the mind also becomes a non-perceiver. This is the beauty. The first verse he says, you know, the world becoming, the world is not perceived when the mind does not function. The world is dependent on the mind for its existence. Now he says, the mind is also dependent on the world to have the status of being the perceiver. So mind is dependent on the world for it to be the perceiver. That is said in the second verse, the 32nd verse. It means mind and the world are mutually dependent. Mind is dependent on the world to have the status of being the experiencer. The world is dependent on the mind to be perceived to have the status of being existent. They're mutually dependent. Okay? They're dependent. They're dependent, that's all. When you're dependent means what? World is also mithya, mind is also mithya. When can you call a mind? Only when the function of the mind is functional, when the mind has a status of being the knower, then it is a mind. Whenever mind is non-functional, it loses the status of being the experiencer, then is it? Experiencer, it is non-mind. Therefore, for the mind to be a mind, to have the status of being the experiencer, the world must be there for it to be perceived. In jnanam, what happens? In jnanam, when this anubodha, okay, atmasatya avabodha, atmasatya anvabodha happens, the thoughts entertained in the mind are pertaining to the only atma, not anatma. Therefore, anatma is not there. Anatma being not there, mind also becomes what now? Objects of thought being not there, mind becomes a non-perceiver. The mind is non-perceiver, that is real, what is what we say? Atma alone is there in the realm of mind, in the realm of world of duality, that also becomes very clear. Then, tasmin kale amanastam amanobhavam yati, it is then the mind attains real status of being not the mind. It is then real amani bhavaha happens. Understand? Mind resolves in its swarupam. Grahana vikalpana varjitam. Grahana vikalpana varjitam. So, when that aham satya atma, when that understanding happens, the mind, a result of that, nothing more remains. That knowledge envelops everything. When that specific cognition aham atatya atma, that takes place. As a result of that knowledge, The knowledge envelops everything. The wake of knowledge, it envelops everything, isn't it? There's no anatma which is away from mind. Mind is not away from the atma. This is how the knowledge envelops everything. Therefore, there's nothing more remains. There's nothing remains to be think of. Nothing remains to think of. So, grahya abhavaha means, there's no object to think of. There's no such a thing called object. You can talk about object as an object only if it is separate from, different from the subject, isn't it? In the initial, what do you say? The knower is different from the known. Known is different from the knower. We understand that initially. But now we understand there is the known being non-separate from the knower. There is no object. How do you understand? The known being non-separate from the known world of objects being non-separate from the knower becomes very clear in the wake of the knowledge. Got it? Is this non-separate means there's no object. Because knowledge pervades, envelops everything. Therefore, there's nothing remains as an object. Therefore, no thought remains. No object is there to think about. Therefore, the mind also becomes non-perceiver. When the mind becomes non-perceiver, the mind is said to be non-mind. What should the mind do to be a non-mind? It should not be a perceiver. Oh, you fall asleep, you are a non-perceiver. But that you will be woken up. That's not a permanent. For that really, isn't it? That's only temporary. But in spite of being the perceiver, seeing the mind being non-perceiver is amani bhavaha. Seeing the mind being a non-perceiver in spite of its being a perceiver. That is amani bhavaha. When can you see that? You must see that what is that which is beyond the mind, because of which the mind is capable of functioning as the perceiver. Mind is capable of functioning as the knower. The mind enjoys the status of being the knower, being functional, entertaining the thoughts pertinent to the objects, only because the blessing of the Atma. That Atma is unknown, then there is no non-duality. Atma is known in the wake of that jnanam. Mind itself is resolved in the very Atma. That knowledge envelops everything. There's no such thing called object, because object is not separate from the knower. The known being non-separate. Simple example. Known being non-separate from the knower. The knower himself being non-separate from the absolute knower, Atma. There is no knower, there is no known, it's only Atma. Anyway. So, agrahyam, this is how mind becomes grahana vikalpana varjitam. Now, grahana vikalpana varjitam. The mind is free from this erroneous perception. Perception, the mind is free from illusion of perception. Perception itself is what? Seeing the duality itself is illusion. It's as though. This is little more unexplanationally explained anyway. See, we are not really going to the actual knowledge part to explain. We'll do that. Yadi asadidam dvaitam. Now again question or doubt comes. Yadi asat idam dvaitam. ಚೇನ ಸ್ವಂ ಅಜಂ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವ ವಿಬುದ್ಧತೆ. ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವೆಶನ್. ಯುನೋ ಇಫ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಸತ್, ಇಫ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ, ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್, ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಇನ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದ ಡ್ಯುಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್. ಇದಂ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಅಸತ್, ಇಫ್ ಯದಿ ಇದಂ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಅಸತ್, ಯದಿ ಅಸತ್ ಇದಂ ದ್ವೈತಂ, ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡ್ಯುಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್, ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್, ದೆನ್ ಸ್ವಂ ಅಜಂ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವ ಕೇನ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ, ಸ್ವಂ ಅಜಂ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವ ಕೇನ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ. ವಾಟ್ ನನಗೆ ದಿಸ್ ಆತ್ಮತತ್ವ, ದಿ ಅನ್ಬಾರ್ನ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ, how does it become known? How does the mind knows its own swarupam? Swarupam in the sense, then how does the reality know itself? Who is the knower here? How many knowers are there? Actually, is the mind a knower? Absolutely, who is the knower? It becomes very clear. The knower, how does the knower know itself? Ajam atmatattvam kena vibuddhyate. If this entity of the duality is mithya, is not real, how does the atmatattvam, the absolute reality, how does that reality know itself, you can say, or how is the absolute reality becomes known? How is the absolute reality become known? How is the truth of oneself becomes the known? Because Atma is not an object of knowledge. Everything is mithya. Everything, including mind, everything is mithya. And who is the knower of the Atma now? How is Atma known? That answer comes here.
ಅಕಲ್ಪಕಮಜಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ, ಅಕಲ್ಪಕಮಜಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಜ್ಞೇಯಾಭಿನ್ನಂ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ, ಜ್ಞೇಯಾಭಿನ್ನಂ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಜ್ಞೇಯಮಜಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ, ಯಮಜಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಅಜೇನಾಜಂ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ, ಅಜೇನಾಜಂ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ ಅಕಲ್ಪಕಮಜಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ, ಅಕಲ್ಪಕಮಜಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಜ್ಞೇಯಾಭಿನ್ನಂ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ, ಜ್ಞೇಯಾಭಿನ್ನಂ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಜ್ಞೇಯಮಜಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಜ್ಞೇಯಮಜಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಅಜೇನಾಜಂ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ, ಅಜೇನಾಜಂ ವಿಬುಧ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವರ್ಬ್. ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೇ, ಬಟ್ ಹೂ ಸೇ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಚಕ್ಷತೆ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ the wise people know, wise people say this. Who are the wise people? Knowers of the truth, people who know this absolute reality, atma, atmagnyaha, atmagyanaha, brahmagyanaha, those jnanis say. What do they say here? Jnanam akalmasham, akal ಅಕಲ್ಪಕಂ ಅಜಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ. Akalpakam ajam jnanam means the birthless, the unborn, timeless. Okay? Akalpakam ajam jnanam. Jnanam is here atma only. Jneya abhinnam. Jneyam is Brahma. Jneyam, should we understand what? The truth of the entirety of the cosmos is implied by the term Brahma. So Jneyam, what is to be known is Jneyam. Jneyam is Abhin. Jneyam is absolute reality implied by the term Atma. Abhinnam is non-different. Non-different, non-separate. Non-separate from the object of knowledge. What does it mean? Object of knowledge. See, the jnanam, jnaya abhinnam. This atma, the reality obtaining as the truth of the individual, which is also atma, okay, is non-different from the reality implied with term Brahman, which is to be known. What does it mean? The reality is one and the same. The knower sarupam is non-separate from the knower. The sarupa of the knower is non-separate from the knower, non-different from the knower. The truth of the knower is non-separate, non-different from the knower. The truth of the knower is, isn't it, non-separate. And this knowledge is akalpakam. It is free from all divisions. Kalpam means division, okay? Akalpakam, nirvikalpam. It's free from all divisions. Imagined divisions. Superimposed divisions. The knowledge is free from all superimposed divisions. And this knowledge is what? So, unborn. Ajam. Is gaya abhinnam. It is not different from that which is to be known. See, jnanam, this knowledge, this the word jnanam implies here atma, okay? The word knowledge, atma, is free from all divisions, superimposed divisions, is unborn, is not different from non-different from the reality Brahma. Jnaya abhinnam. Ajam akalpakam jnanam jnaya abhinnam prachakshate. How do you take it here? Ajam jnaya abhinnam is what people say. Brahma jne yam ajam nityam ajena ajam vibuddhyate. And a part of a wise person, for him, nityam ajam ajena ajam vibuddhyate. The unborn, the unborn is known by the knowledge which is unborn. So what is to be known is Brahma. And that which obtains as the knower is also Atma. Atma and Brahman are one and the same. That's what is conveyed here. The knower, then what is to be known, the reality, is non-different from, non-separate from the knower. How it is non-separate from the knower? This is where we had to stop, and it is, before we go to the Bhashyam, this we understand, actually for the previous verse and also for this verse, we have to understand how the knowledge envelops. How the knowledge envelops the whole. And in the wake of the understanding of the knowledge enveloping the whole, you see the object being not there, subject being not there, you see the knowledge being not there, the Triputi Bheda being not there. I'll explain the whole verse again. The whole verse has to be explained because it's a complicated verse. I have to explain something before I go to this verse also. Before I explain this verse, explanation I'm going to give you now is for understanding what has been said before also. In the 32nd Karika, the 33rd Karika. See, when we say, for both these verses together, we have to understand something. When we say, when the object of knowledge is not available for the thought, when there is no object available for the thought, all the thoughts of the mind do not find any objects available. Therefore, because all the thoughts, when the only object entertained by the focus are only on the Atma, then the knowledge envelops the whole, the object being not there, that is when the mind becomes a non-perceiver. Remember this? I said, that also has to be understood in the, here, in connecting with this verse. What we say, let me give the example first of this light. Okay. Now, in this hall, we have many opaque things shining. All these opaque things do not have light of their own. They can never shine on their own. Unless they are illumined, unless and until they are illumined, all these opaque things will remain covered in darkness. When they remain covered in darkness, they do not have the status of being existent. They're existent, but they are not there at all. They're as good as non-existent. For all these opaque things to have the status of being existent, they must shine. For them to shine, they must be illumined. For them to become the illumined, there must be the illumination. Without the illumination, there cannot be the illumined opaque things. So the illumined opaque things are non-different from the illumination. There's something called illumination, isn't it? You understand what illumination is now. Do these opaque things illumined are separate, different from the illumined illumination? What the distance between the illumination that is here and the illumined objects? There's no distance. And the illumination presupposes what? The illuminator. Illuminator presupposes illuminator. If there's no illuminator here, there cannot be illumination of the objects. Without the illumination, there can't be illumined objects. And here the question comes, what is the illuminator? Illuminator is just the title, qualification, isn't it? Attributed to the light. All that here is only light. Something called, if there's no light, the light is turned off, illuminator will disappear. Therefore, illuminator is a title attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined opaque objects. The standpoint of the light, light is not even the illuminator. Light is not the illuminator, the standpoint of the light. The illuminator is a status qualification attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined objects. Isn't it? Now we ask the question, is there an illuminator? What is the truth of the illuminator? Existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. Existence of light is the existence of the illuminator. Isn't it? If there is no light, there cannot be illuminator. And the light, why does the light illumine? Because it's nature. The swarupam of the light being what it is. The nature, essential, intrinsic nature of the light being illumining, all illumining is its nature. By its mere presence, it illumines. By its mere presence, illumines. Therefore, the illuminator, there is no illuminator other than the light. It's the only example available for us. There is no light, there is no illuminator without the light. Therefore, the illuminator is the light. Light is not the illuminator, because illumining is not an action. It's very swarupam, very nature. The very presence, by its mere presence, it illumines. Today I explain this, tomorrow come back and explain again. Really, you must see how the world is not there. Let me do the example today. So illuminator is light. You have to make this sentence. Illuminator is light. When you say, what you mean is, by a statement, there is no illuminator other than the light. The truth of the illuminator is light. You are first negating what? The illuminator qualification. There is no illuminator outside of the light. The truth, surupam of the illuminator is light. Illuminator is light, illuminator status is resolved. Now, if illuminator is the light, illumination is light. This is called seeing the vikalpa being there, not there. Illumination is also light, isn't it? Is there distance between illuminator and the light? No distance. Non-different. Illuminator and the light are one and the same. Similarly, illuminator being non-different from the light, illumination is also non-separate from the light. Now we say, what about the illumined world of objects? Illumined objects are also, every illumined object is a reflection of light. One way we say, when you're experiencing it, non-separate from light. What is the distance between the illumined opaque thing and the illumining light? No distance. Because it has no independent existence at all outside. Therefore, the illuminator itself is light, means the subject is not there. Subject is resolved in the light. Subject of illumination is resolved in the light. Subject is not there. Really, there's no subject of knowledge, not an object of illumination from the standpoint of light. The standpoint of opaqueness, you can talk about illuminator. The standpoint of light, there's no illuminator other than the light. The standpoint of light, there's no illumination which is separate from light. The standpoint of light, there's no illumined opaque things which is outside of the light. Wherever opaque things shine, shines only in the light. The presence of the light. Isn't it? Non-separate. Therefore, there is no object called, object of illumination is not there. When you say all objects are resolved as light only, then this illuminated status also goes. Illumined status also goes. Illuminator is not there. Therefore, illumined status also is not there. Illuminated status is not there, therefore illuminator status also is not there. This bedaha, illuminator, illumination, illumined, this triputi bheda is resolves where? In the light. What is light? Light is now akalpam. Akalpakam. Akalpakam means nirvikalpam. Akalpakam means it's free from this super divisions, triputi bheda. Light is, now understand light itself. Light is akalpakam, nirvikalpa means free from the division such as this illuminator, illumined, illumination difference. Really speaking, there is no illuminator, light alone is. Really speaking, there is no illumination, light alone is. Really speaking, there is no illumined world of plurality of objects other than the light.
light alone is. Now this knowledge, okay, understand, of light, in light of the knowledge of light being what it is, you can see how light is enveloping everything. Okay, light envelops our entire world of opaque things. Light envelops the entire world of opaque things. Do you see this? In the same way, we have to understand what? How consciousness pervades everything. We'll see tomorrow. Okay? Very important lesson. You can't take it for granted. We need more time. What I said until now, repeating so many times, is nothing. Tomorrow is the reality teaching. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.